tonight should be, unfortunately, but for him. Just to introduce the topic, so what it said on the flyers and the concept of this year is that we're going to discuss the different months on the calendar. We're going to see how every single month has a unique purpose, a unique flavor, a unique avoda for us to do. And if we put some time into it, we can see how every single month has its own opportunities it offers every single Jew and how we can grow based on the time of that month. But to get there, I want to go through maybe for the next, let's say, 2 weeks, introduction. I want to introduce the concept of months and Zmanim on the Jewish calendar so we understand why it is that months are so significant and what it is about the months that offers us so many spiritual opportunities. So for the next, I guess, we'll see how long it takes us. Next 2 or 3 weeks, we're going to do an introduction, and then I think we'll start with Kislev. Once we get to Kislev time, we'll start with the discussion of Kislev. So this topic is something that I've thought about for a while. I've worked on, over the years, different thoughts here and there. It speaks to me. And I think there's really two things I gain from this topic personally. Number one is obviously the opportunity each month offers us, that to realize we have a different avoda, different approach based on the time of the year. That's one point, very practical. The second thing, which I always find fascinating about this topic, is I love seeing the connections in the Torah between lots of things. So for instance, we're going to see how the months, the Shvatim, the seasons, the Yontif in the month, all kind of connect together. Certain Sfarim connect with every single month, certain emotions, letters in the Aleph Beis. I mean, all sorts of things get thrown into the picture and connect based on each month. And as you see these connections, you see how the Torah is so vast and everything comes together as one beautiful picture. And I find that to be always fascinating. I heard a story, you know, Rav Aaron Feldman, the Reshiva in Eretz Yisrael. I heard him speaking once. He said, you know, when he was a teenager, you know, he also had his challenges in Yiddishkeit, like any teenager does. And he said he once learned the parish of the Gran Shir HaShirim. And he said he saw something there which just struck him. He said, Torah is absolutely true. No question about it. Because he saw the beauty of the way the Gra took one pasuk, not going to right now, but took one pasuk and connected like dozens and dozens of ideas and concepts and it all came together in one beautiful tapestry. He said, wow, Torah is emes. There's no way, no how could a human being ever put this all together. So that was what he said. And I feel that sometimes with certain types of things you learn, that when you see everything coming together as one, you see the beauty of Torah coming together in front of your eyes. So that's one of the ideas of this topic, which always seems to fascinate me. So let's start from the beginning. There's a piece I want to go through today. I'll pass it out in a few minutes. But to introduce it first, we know the very first mitzvah in the Torah given to the Jews as a whole was the Chodesh Zelachem. Right? I mean, in Bereishis, we have mitzvahs given to individuals. Adam was told Bapru Revu. Abraham received Bris Milo. Yaakov received Nati Ginanasha. But those are mitzvahs given to individuals. The first mitzvah given to the Jews as an entire nation, as you find it in Parshas Bo, HaChodesh Zelachem, Rosh Chodesh. And the concept is that Nisan was the first month, and the calendar should develop from that. So really our very first mitzvah was the calendar, which is a fascinating thing. So it's really essential to being a Jew to understand the calendar. It's an essential part of being a Jew. If that's the first mitzvah, it's got to be really important, that's for sure. So the idea of the calendar overall, we know we use a lunar calendar. That's the Jewish calendar, the lunar calendar based on the moon. There's a concept that the Klal Yisrael is Nimshel, or compared to the moon. I mean, many ways. One of the main ways being that the moon is only a reflection of the sun's light. Just as Klal Yisrael, we're a reflection of Hashem's light. Now, we don't claim to offer anything on our own. We offer what we have based on what Hashem gave us. Hashem gave us the Torah, he gave us life. The beauty of being a Jew is all reflecting Hashem's light. So the sun, Hashem is compared to the sun. The pasuk says, "Ki Hashem shumagin Hashem." Hashem is a sun and a shield, and we're compared to the moon because we reflect that light to the world. That's our job. So our calendar is based on the moon. Additionally, you know, the Rama says in the Shulchan Aruch, there's a custom to dance a Kiddush Levana. If you ever see it, shul, women are usually there. But Motzi Shabbos from the Kiddush Levana, so many people have a custom to dance. And the Rama explains why do we have a custom to dance, because Kiddush Levana is recognizing the moon. And the moon has its cycles. It wanes and it waxes. It gets larger, it gets smaller. And it's supposed to be for us a mushel for our history. We have our times where we're high. We have our times where we have lows. And the Mashiach is compared, David HaMelech is compared to the moon. And we know that we're going to have our high once again. We're going to wax and become a full moon once again with Mashiach's coming. So we dance at Kiddush Levana because just like the moon always comes back and shines bright, so too we know that we as Jews are going to shine bright as well. That's what the Rama says, and that's where the custom to dance developed. That's where the custom comes from. So the moon is something really essential to us as a model for what we are, And our months are based on the moon. Now, going beyond that, so there's an idea of time having a certain level of Kedusha. And I guess we can explain this in a few different ways. There's the famous concept for the Sefer Yetzirah, which is a very early Kabbalah Sefer, actually attributed to Abraham. The one thing we know Abraham wrote is Sefer Yetzirah, it's a Kabbalah Sefer. And it has a concept in it that everything in the world has its representation on three different planes. The acronym in Hebrew is Ashan, Ayin Shin Nun, and Ashan stands for Olam Shana Nefesh. Could be heard this idea before. Olam Shana Nefesh. Olam meaning the world, meaning something in space. Shana, like a year in time. And then Nefesh in a person. So every concept's going to have its manifestation both in space, in time, and in some human being or some aspect of a human being. Just like a simple example. I mean, it's not always so easy to be able to draw the connections. But we understand that in physical space, we have something called the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Holiest place in the world, Kodesh HaKadoshim. In time, we want to say that's probably Yom Kippur. It's Kodesh HaKadoshim. And then in the human being, the Kohen Gadol is referred to as Kodesh HaKadoshim. So you have something, a concept of Kodesh HaKadoshim, the holiest thing you could possibly imagine in the physical world. And it has a day, Yom Kippur, has a place, the physical room, Kodesh HaKadoshim, has a person, the Kohen Gadol, and they all come together to represent that concept. But every single point has its concept in time as well. So time is something which actually gives us levels of Kedusha and spiritual opportunities which are there for us to connect with. There's a famous idea of Rav Dessler. Rav Dessler writes that you have to view time not as just a linear model, but as a circular model. Meaning every year as we come through a yontif or a month, it's not a new time. It's the same time that was there last year being replayed again this year. Yeah, right. Like Rosh Hashanah, the round challahs, we're going around, it's the cycle. But it's the idea, when we approach Pesach, so it's not that we're commemorating the Exodus from 3,000 years ago, it's that we're actually revisiting that same exact time. Because time doesn't move forward, time actually goes in circles. And every single year we go into that circle. We'll talk about it more later, but I guess the analogy would be, and it's actually the connection, is the seasons. Now, why do we have different seasons? Because the earth is revolving around the sun, and the way the earth revolves determines the seasons, how far we are from the sun, which way we're angled. So when we have summer, it's not that we've moved on to a new summer, it's the same summer as last year, because the earth's in the same exact place. So same thing with the calendar. And when we get to Pesach or Shavuos, or we get to Cheshvan or Kislev, it's not a new Cheshvan, it's actually we've gone back to the same point where we were there last year as well. So the same exact piece of time that the Jews left Mitzrayim, we get to enter that piece of time again on Pesach. You follow what I'm saying? So that Kedusha is right in the air. That Kedusha is there for us. There's like a spiritual opportunity that comes around on those days, which we can grab. The same opportunity they had 3,000 years ago when they left Mitzrayim is there for us every single year on Pesach. It's in the air. It's that same exact time on the calendar that we're experiencing once again. So like on Shabbos and Yom Tov, I think we feel it in particular. We don't necessarily feel it on a weekday. But like I said, every single month has its time you're revisiting from the past and has its special spiritual opportunities being offered. So that's the, that's I guess how I would introduce the idea of, there's something called Kedusha Sazman. The Zman has a Kedusha to it. It has its unique opportunities and some sort of spiritual flow coming into us that we're able to connect with during that Zman. So that brings me to, actually one more point and then we'll do this. So when you get to the points in the calendar, you're actually revisiting the opportunities that are there. So let's give one more analogy. Maybe some of you garden. You know, I like to garden. I don't have time anymore. Now they go to camp in the summers, but I like to garden. So when you garden, you pick up the package of seeds. It always says on it, well, it's best to plant this in March. You know, and then it needs to have 90 days until it's going to start blooming or until it gets to its, you know, ripest stage, etc. And then if you're in this climate, you should plant it in April. And then if it's this kind of plant, you should plant it in February. And it'll tell you when to plant it. And it's because, you know, certain seasons are good for certain types of growth. That's what it means. If you plant a vegetable that's in the wrong season, it's not going to grow. It might grow and it might be kind of a very weak plant and not produce anything nice. And it might not grow at all. But if you plant at the right time, that's how it grows the best. So again, it's the same analogy for us. You know, there's certain things we should work on different times of the year. So if we plant those seeds in the month of Cheshvan, they'll grow. If you plant them in the month of Elul, maybe they won't grow the same way, because that's not the time for it. So the calendar, you have to view it like you're viewing the seasons. It's really, there's really a model of seasons, and the Jewish calendar go together. And as long as you're able to tap into knowing what this season is good for, you can do a lot more growth in that way than if you don't know what it's good for. So when you plant your garden, you have to know what season you're in, and same thing when it comes to spiritual growth. So I want to pass these copies out. I don't know if I have enough. You can share if there's not enough, but I'd like to thank the yeshiva for the copies. They said that they're very happy to give copies when it comes to learning Torah in the community. So, yeah, made the copies at the yeshiva. So this copy, as it's going around, is the introduction to the Sefer Bnei Yisachar. Bnei Yisachar, it was written by a great Hasidish, a Rebbe. His name was Rav Tzvi Elimelech Shapiro. And the Sefer is actually one of the most classic Sfarim when it comes to the months and Yom Tov. Actually, the Sefer is actually written on the months. He goes through the year month by month and discusses concepts of the month. That's what he does. So a lot of it's based on the Yom Tov of the month, but he gives you month concepts in general. And we'll refer back, over the course of this series, we'll refer back to the Sefer a lot because it's really one of the most common Sfarim used when it comes to discussing months and times in the year. So that's the Bnei Yisachar. So this is his Hakadama, his introduction. And here he actually discusses the concept in general of the Kedusha of Zman. Now, what is it about time? How does one tap into the Kedusha of time? And how should we sense the special, unique aspects of every time of the year? So let's run through this together, and we'll see how he depicts it. Now, just, I guess, a warning in advance. You know, he is a Hasidish Rebbe. So the concept here, there are some very much Hasidic concepts in here, which are not necessarily things that we do all the time. Namely, he talks a lot about focusing on a certain tzaddik and being able to get influence, inspiration from him. The Hasidim, they have their Rebbe, and they believe that if you have your Rebbe, you go to him, and a lot of the spiritual flow into the world comes through the Rebbe, and your inspiration comes through your Rebbe, and everything comes through your Rebbe. So I don't know if anyone here is Hasidish, but the non-Hasidish Jews don't necessarily use that model. He speaks a lot about it here, but we'll try to apply it in ways that we can also relate to. So let's take it from the beginning. We'll learn through this piece. And he actually quotes, the reason the Sefer is called Bnei Yisachar is based on this pasuk. There's a pasuk from Divrei Yomim. And it says, Bnei Yisachar, Yodei Vina Le'itim. So it's referring to the Shevet Yisachar. And it says, the Shevet Yisachar, they knew the understanding of the times, Vadas Mayasa Yisrael. And they were able to know what Klal Yisrael should do. So the Shevet Yisachar had a unique ability to understand times of the year and then direct Klal Yisrael. So there's many perushim as to what that means. He'll give us his take on it. Just I want to share with you the words of the Gra, the Vilna Gaon. He says that what it means, he writes this in his perush on Divrei Yamim. He says that they knew how to lisbonate, to understand every single occurrence in life based on the time. And then he brings an example. Chazal say that Achitofel, who's one of David HaMelech's advisors, he would never daven the same davening twice because he knew that your davening should change with the times. So there's an idea of changing the times. You know, obviously, he said Shemar Esrei. He lived before that time. Maybe he didn't. But every davening should be unique and different. You know, when you daven, you should understand today is a special day, and I'm going to daven based on the day that it is right now. We know what it's like when you daven on Yom Tov. It's definitely more unique than davening on a regular Tuesday. But really, davening every time of the year should change a little bit. Every day is different, every month's different, so we should change along with the times. So the Gra says that the children of Yisachar understood how events occurred in time, and therefore instructed Klal Yisrael how to act based on the time of year that it was, based on the time of history that it was. That's the Pasuk. So going back into the words of Bnei Yisachar, he writes, Dekad Shinhu Lazmanim. So they were able to give Kedusha to the times. V'hein hema klisharis lekabel kedushasam. We have to understand that the Kedusha of time means that the time becomes a vessel to accept Kedusha. Let's explain that concept. We very often talk about the term Kedusha, things that are sacred and holy. But in our world, the physical world we live in, Kedusha doesn't just float around, you know, in a floaty, ambiguous sense. Kedusha has to cling to something in life, you know? So you have certain objects have Kedusha. The Torah, Tefillin, that has Kedusha to it. You have places that have Kedusha, like we mentioned before. You have a Beis HaMikdash, Yerushalayim, Eretz Yisrael, a Shul, a Beis Medrash, they have Kedusha. And you have times that have Kedusha. Every time is a vessel that can accept the Kedusha. if there's nothing to put the Kedusha on, we can't really access it in our world, because we live in a world of things and time and space. So if there's some Kedusha out there, but there's no way that we can't get to it if it doesn't actually attach itself to something. So the time is something, it attaches itself to time. There's times on the calendar that Kedusha attaches itself to. So there he says, Alkein nafsham yudas ma'o bischalfus itim otova. Now he's referring back to tzaddikim. He says that tzaddikim, their nefesh can understand when the times change for good. Means he's referring to a great tzaddik has a sense as to when the times change, how the spiritual opportunities in the world change along with the time. Benafsham margeshus biaditus arevus ne'imus nezilus shefa hakadusha. He says some beautiful poetic language over here. Then the nefesh of a tzaddik, the soul of a tzaddik, can feel and can sense, you know, the dear, pleasant, you know, sweet flow of kedusha that comes kafi seder hazman, and based on the times of the year, hanehavim vanimim, the times that are beloved and beautiful to us. So he's pointing out here that, you know, there's an inner sense that someone can get as the times change. It's not obvious, you know, when it turns into Shabbos, so you can't look outside and see Shabbos per se, but for those of us who prepare and are in tune with it, we can feel a little sense things are different today. You know, it's a little different. When Yom Kippur hits, so we feel a little different, you know. If we don't prepare for it, we don't feel different, but if we prepare for it in advance, then we can kind of sense it. So he's saying that tzaddikim have a unique ability to sense the change in times, especially Hasidic Rebbes is what he's talking about over here. But in general, all of us have the ability that if we prepare ourselves in advance, we can sense how as times change, we change, our voter change, opportunities change. And these are precious gifts that Hashem gives to Klal Yisrael. And these tzaddikim who sense the beauty of the Zman, they're generous in that they give us of that beauty. So again, he's referring to the fact that a Rebbe who is able to sense the Kedusha of a certain time of year is able to teach and pass on that Kedusha to all of his Hasidim. But for us as well, you know, if we don't sense it, to be around people who do sense it and understand this time of year is different, these things are different. You know, I should be acting different right now so we can be with people who sense it, and that kind of rubs off on us. And we hope that we're able to prepare ourselves in a way, and part of our goal in this class is to prepare ourselves so that we can actually sense the change in time too. V'yasva navim ba'ashem simcha, simchas ha'nefesh, ha'misaneges be'kedushas or nerav chofif al-roshei b'nei Yisrael. So he says, and therefore, if we're able to take in the flow of the Kedusha of the time, so then the Navim Vashem Simcha, the humble ones, can add Simcha to their lives. And the Simcha is the Simcha of the Nefesh, which and takes pleasure and enjoys the Kedusha of this beautiful light that comes down on Klal Yisrael when it's a special time of the year. And now he says a very important line, everybody based on their preparation. I think that's very important. Because again, we don't sense it if we don't get ourselves ready. When it comes to, I always say this on Yom Tov, any time of year, if you don't know what you're getting into, then you can't sense it, because you don't know what's special about it right now. If we were to walk into the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, we know where we were, we think it looks nice, we wouldn't really feel the reverence and the kedusha we should feel. But if you know I'm about to enter into the Beis HaMikdash, then you feel a little bit different. So based on our own preparation that we do, that enables us to sense and tap into the opportunities that time has to offer us. He says it's actually comparable to Olam Haba, because Olam Haba, Chazal tell us in many, many different sources, that Olam Haba is not just what place everybody gets tossed into. Everybody gets their own special, unique place in Olam Haba, based on how much they worked in their lifetime to do the right thing. So everyone's going to have their own little... You know, again, we're using physical metaphors, but everyone has their own special chamber with their reward in it. It's not just like, okay, we all get to put on a plane and get sent on vacation to Tahiti or something. It means that everybody is in their own unique room, unique location, enjoying their own personal reward. So he's saying the Zman are like that. Everybody can sense the Zman on their own personal level. We don't all sense it together because everybody's prepared differently for it. But if you prepare yourself, you can sense a lot about the Zman. And then he quotes another source for this, Kodemosh Amr Boseinu, Kod Tzadik Nichlech Vlasa Shechavero, Kamokin Achachma Ta'oz L'chacham. Jesus has man. So he says, so too, the wisdom gives strength to the wise when it comes to the Kedusha of Zman, Fimakomo V'shaito Nishbalo Min Kodesh Elyon, based on his place and time, and that which is given to him from Hashem. So again, the more that we're able to make ourselves wise and understand the Torah and the understanding of the day, so therefore that's going to allow us to tap in more to this unique, you know, flow that Hashem is giving us. Because all of us have Kedusha, every individual has the ability to sense this. Now gets into his really Hasidish idea. He says that even though everybody has the ability to sense this, but he says not every neshama is the same, and that's why there's a concept to visit your Rebbe on Yantif. Why is he saying that? Because we assume that the Rebbe senses what the Yantif is all about. He understands the value and the Kedusha of this Yantif, and we don't fully get it. So we go visit him so that we can actually get some of that rubbed off upon us. That's what he says. Because when it comes to sensing the Kedusha of the Zman, the ability of the Rebbe is going to be beyond the ability of the student. But when you go visit your Rebbe on Yantif, at that point you become one, and you look at each other. Mashmi Makabel, the Rebbe gives and you receive. He gives all sorts of different metaphors for this, but this is a very Hasidish concept. In Hasidim, really, to this very day, they will travel to their Rebbe on Yom Tif. Many of them even leave their families behind and will go visit the Rebbe on Yom Tif, which is something that non-Hasidim would not even think of doing. But that's what they do, because they want to be able to take in the Kedusha and the spiritual opportunity of that day. So that's what he says. I have a different copy than this, so maybe I'll turn the page right in. This is another point. He says that the Kedusha of the time can be sensed most powerfully through the letters of Torah. I mean, if we want to get ourselves ready and sense the time, so how do you do that? So we don't just look outside at the seasons or like if the leaves are falling off the trees or what the weather's like. That's not what we do. It's about the Torah relevant to that time of year. Tinei gama nefesh yosios ruchnias. So he says that the custom is the people gather together to see the Rebbe on Yantif, and what happens then? So the Rebbe obviously speaks the Torah to them. In order so that the letters of Torah, Yushba Shefa Kedusha Elyon, should give you the flow of the Kedusha, that comes b'tosafos ha'harav, that comes through the Rebbe. Through that, all the flocks, in the metaphor, can drink. He's saying it in a much more Kabbalistic way, if we can understand it in a simple way. He says that the letters of Torah become pipelines. And through these pipelines, you have the flow of Kedusha. So the Torah which Hashem puts in the mouths of His children during these times, that Torah is going to be a result of the time. And based on the preparation of that soul, no time is like the other, and no soul is like the other. So the Torah of the time that you're in itself, number one, the Torah depicts and describes the time. The Torah is a result of the time. So if we're speaking Divrei Torah in the month of Mar Cheshvan, or on the Yantif of Sukkis, or on some other time of year, it's actually going to be influenced by the time that we're in. Because the time influences us, we influence, and we describe the time, it all kind of works together as one. So when one goes to the Rebbe, or any time, you hear the Rav and Shul speak on a Yantif, we have to understand that what's coming out is an inspiration of the Yantif itself. Had it not been that Yantif, the Rav would be saying those words. And those words have been inspired by the Yantif that we're actually experiencing during that time. In time of year, they're wind. The fact that it's winter or summer or fall or spring, I believe, and we'll see sources, that influences the way that we're going to learn Torah. The inspiration that we draw during those times of year are very much influenced by the time that we're in. So that's what he says, that the Torah which is actually taught during those times are a result of that time. And you can never compare one time to the other. The times are so unique, and there's so many different feelings every time of the year. You can't compare them. So now this is another very important point. So let's say you have somebody who is able to take inspiration and pleasure on a weekday from the Torah which was taught on a yontif. So therefore, those words for him or her become an inspiration even when the yontif is over. So the person can go and act in a way which is straight in Torah and in the Yerushalayim, the fear of Hashem. So we think about it. You know, different times a year, it's not that the time passes and it's all over. Okay, like we just had Rosh Yom Kippur and Sukkot, and like, okay, it's in the past now. We don't want that to be. Chas v'shalom. We want to say that we're building ourselves up based on the inspiration of those times. Because we're always trying to build, you know, we have to look at the Jewish year as building us up. Hashem wants us to experience the cycle of the year. I should go through Tishrei and Cheshvan and Kislev and Teves, and I should build myself up in every single month in a unique way. And when the year is over, I look back, and I have gone up to the next level of being a Jew. Then every year, I keep moving up and up and up and up and up. That's what I'm trying to do. So I have to be able to look back and reflect upon the previous times, in the Torah of the previous times, in the inspiration of the previous times, let that influence me. Rav Huttner Zatzal, he would always say that when Yom Tov is over, you don't say that Yom Tov is over, you say that I've added another Yom Tov to myself. It's been added to me. Because when you go through a time, you're building yourself up, and it should remain with you afterwards. It's not like, okay, now that's it, Sukkot is done, finished. It's like, I've added another Sukkot to my own persona. That's what I've done. So I'm a different person now because I've added that Sukkot in. And then he continues, Kinnish Amru B'Zohar HaKadosh, he quotes from the Zohar, Be'esik HaRav Yim HaTalmid, Human De'Mistako B'Hum Mila De'Kamar LaRabo Ve'Chule. So he quotes from the Zohar that, let's say a student studies with a Rebbe. So when the student looks back to those words, he doesn't give the whole quote. I actually have it here in a footnote, which is not in your copies. The entire quote speaks about how looking back at those words always give you more inspiration. And the example given was from Yosef. You know, Yosef was challenged in Mitzrayim, and he always thought back to the Torah his father Yaakov had taught him. And that always inspired him throughout his entire time in Mitzrayim. He was able to maintain his connection to Hashem and be a strong Jew because he thought back always to his father. So too, when it comes to a time of year, we should always be thinking back. You know, all of us, probably last month, we hope, had the times of inspiration. Over Rosh Hashanah, Kippur, and Sukkot, we had something there that inspired us. So we can't leave it in the past. We have to look back at that and be inspired by it. That's our goal. That should be with us the entire year. And previous Yom Kippur should stay with us too, because we're always building ourselves up every single time we go through a certain season or a certain time or a certain month. Mizet is bona in kamo talmid ha-mistakel b'chol pam b'chol davar medivrei Torah kimirabo. So just like a student is always looking back at the Torah that he learned from his Rebbe, I'm skipping the parentheses there, as you look back, it actually develops within you more and more wisdom. So thinking back to what you learned in previous months, previous times, previous classes you've been to, it shouldn't just be, okay, I'm just reminiscing, I'm just looking back exactly as was said, but hopefully I'm drawing more and more inspiration, understanding more and more, growing more and more, and becoming better based on what I learned before. We always want to draw out, you can always suck more and more meaning out of Torah. The Torah is limitless. So the more Torah you learn, you think back to it, the more you can draw out of it. So too, the person who looks back at the Torah that he was taught during a certain time of year, at a time that had a Kedushas Hazman, this should be added to him, inspire him, even during a weekday, with additional wisdom, which brings him more towards Kedusha. So that's the description. Let's just finish the paragraph. Therefore, he's introducing a sefer now. Therefore, he wrote a sefer to write down as a memoir, let's say, and for himself, and for those who are of his level, of his age, called Dvar Mashiach Olu B'Zichroneinu, everything that we spoke about and remembered is Asher Hizmin Hashem Yisbarach Lanu B'Tosei Kodesh, that which Hashem had inspired us to understand and to learn during sacred times. Hey Raiva Shiyom Reinu Ratzon Lefnei Adon Kol. So then he says a tefillah, may it be Hashem's will that our lessons should be to his liking. Before Hashem, Nitzkil Gula Shlema Herameinu, we should be Zolcha to the Gula Shlema, Yismach Hashem Maisim, Hashem should rejoice in our actions. So that's his intro. But we see that the point, you know, the idea of Azman having Kedusha is something which we have to train ourselves to sense. But if we can't sense it, then we're going to undergo so much more spiritual growth during those times because we know what we're supposed to be looking towards, what we should be feeling, what we should be inspired by. And the more we learn about them, the Torah of those times is something which should inspire us constantly. So that's his introduction. Any questions on that? No? Okay, good. So that's one piece. Now, just moving on, just to understand more of introducing the months, let's just talk about the months that we have in general. You know, the calendar goes, as we have it, we look at it from Tishrei through Elul. The Torah looks at it from Nisan through Adar. The Torah calls Nisan the first month, Adar the 12th month. And we have Rosh Hashanah and Tishrei, so we'll discuss maybe why that is. But there's two cycles. There's a cycle of months and a cycle of years. Tishrei is a cycle of years, and Nisan is a cycle of months. Those are our months. Now, if you look through the entire Torah, the Torah only mentions the names of the months as the first month, second month, third month, fourth month. It has no names. There's no names to the months. The names, as we have them, Tishrei, Cheshvan, Kislev, Tevis, where do those come from? So the Talmud Yerushalmi tells us that those came up from Bavel. When we went to the first Golos, after the Chorban of the first Beis Hamikdash in Babylonia, so we came back to Eretz Yisrael to build the second Beis Hamikdash, and those names came with us. They're Babylonian names, essentially. That's where they came from. So it's kind of strange that now for all of history, we refer to our months with Babylonian names. It's a funny thing. The Torah didn't do that. Neither did the Shoftim or the Malachim. Only once you went to Bavel did we come back and name the months with Babylonian names. It's actually funny, because if you look at the names, some of them actually seem to allude to Avodah Zarah and to some negative things too, which is really strange. So the question is, how do we understand these names of our months, and why do we have to use Babylonian names? That's our question. So I want to share with you a few different points on that. First, there is the Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, and Emes Liakov. He gives one interpretation, which we'll see others argue with. But he says that he has a very fascinating concept, which he actually discusses a few places in his Sefer. And he says that when the Jews went to Golos Bavel for the destruction of the first base of Mikdash, so, you know, we were there for 70 years, and Hashem really intended us to stay there for the long run until Mashiach came. But we realized, and Hashem realized, that we wouldn't have enough spiritual wherewithal and strength to actually make it, if that happened. If we went to, after the first base of Mikdash, we went to Golos Bavel and we stayed there and didn't have a second base of Mikdash, then we wouldn't be able to survive. We would have been too weak, and we would have been assimilated into Golos and finished. So Hashem gave us second Beis HaMikdash, knowing that that was not the final Geula. That was given to us only as kind of like a training ground to prepare us for the next Golos. That's what Yaakov says. So the entire period, I mean, the second Beis HaMikdash lasted 420 years. It lasted a long time. That whole period was never meant to be a final redemption. There was never any dream that would be the times of Mashiach, he says. And that was only meant to give us the strength in order to make it through the long Golos we're in right now. Happens to be during that time was when the Mishnayos and Torah Shebaal Peh really was developed. And we look at the Torah Shebaal Peh kind of as our arsenal to fight Golos for all these years. So that happened during the second Beis HaMikdash. That was the Chanukah story and you know, that whole time period. But Rav Yaakov says that the reason that we use Babylonian names for the months was that we should know that the second Beis HaMikdash was not a final Geula. So we're actually kind of living in a certain way in Golos while being in Eretz Yisrael with the Beis HaMikdash. So we kept certain Babylonian customs, Babylonian names, as a reminder to us that don't think that we've made it. Now this is not it. We got a long way to go still. And that's why he says we use these names of the months. It's a fascinating piece. We won't do it together. It's just kind of off topic, but if you have a chance, it's in Parshas Bo. It's a very interesting piece from Yaakov. But he talks about this concept, the Beis HaMikdash, the second Beis HaMikdash was meant to be just kind of like a training ground to get us through Golos. It wasn't meant to be in any way the goal. It was just kind of a way to strengthen us to make it for 2,000 years later as we go through the rest of Golos. So that's what Yaakov's understanding. But what I do want to do, I think we have time for one more piece here. I'll pass on one more thing, if you don't mind. I'm going to look at the Ramban. Yeah, that's that too. I'm giving you lots of goodies to take home. You're welcome to keep them, write notes on them. So the Ramban, this is the Drushas on Ramban. It's actually a very long Drusha he once, I assume he gave it, and then wrote it down about Rosh Hashanah. And in there, he talks a lot about the year and the months. And he poses, I'm gonna skip the first paragraph, I'll paraphrase the first paragraph. I'm on page Ches on the top right. Page Ches. I'm just in the middle of a piece here. But in the first paragraph, he asks the question we mentioned before, which is that the Torah says that Rosh Hashanah is in Chodesh HaShvi, the seventh month. And what the Torah actually says, it doesn't say Rosh Hashanah, it says in the seventh month, you should have a day where you blow shofar. That's what it says. So it's very strange. He says that, well, we all call Rosh Hashanah. Even little kids know it's Rosh Hashanah. Everyone calls Rosh Hashanah. Even the Gemara calls Rosh Hashanah. There's a Masechta in Shas called Rosh Hashanah. It's weird that the beginning of the year is in the seventh month. It doesn't quite make sense, right? It says in the seventh month, make Rosh Hashanah. I mean, that doesn't sound logical. How can you have a beginning of the year in the seventh month? It's very strange. That's really his question. So he wants to try to describe what it means that Rosh Hashanah is in the seventh month. And we have kind of two different counts. We have our Tishrei count and our Nisan count. And why is that? Like, where's that coming from? So if you skip down to the second paragraph, it says, Tshuvas HaSheilo HaZos. He gives the answer to this question. He says, Ki Masha Omer B'Torah B'Nisan HaChosh Zelachem. When the Torah says that Nisan should be the Rosh Chodesh in the first month, Rishon Lechem Chodesh Hashanah, it's the first month of the year, Ein Perush Nisan Rosh, it doesn't mean that Nisan is the beginning of a year. El Shein Nikra Rishon Lon, we should call it the first one. Meaning it says, Rishon Lechem, it shall be the first to you. I mean, years existed long before Nisan existed. I mean, years existed from when Hashem created the world. This pasuk was said when the Jews were leaving Mitzrayim over 2,000 years later. So the years existed, you know, from Bereishis, but he said, but for you, Klal Yisrael, refer to Nisan as month number one. Why? Kolomar Rishon LeGulasenu, Shinim Ne'achadashim LeGulasenu Shesanu Mitzrayim. It's the first month dating to our Geula, to our redemption from Mitzrayim. Ki Minhag HaTorah Shimnu Yom Mechadashim LeMitzvos, because the Torah wants us to count days and months based on Mitzvos. For instance, you know, in Hebrew, what do you call Tuesday? Call it Yom Shlishi. Yom Shlishi B'Shabbos, right? What do you call Thursday? Yom Chamishi. We don't give the days names. We count based on Shabbos, because every single day to us is just a count towards Shabbos. That's how we view the week. Because we want to count based on Mitzvos. So he says, Shiva Simei HaShavua, Ein Lehem Shem B'Yisrael. Jews don't give names to days of the week. V'shar Umos Ko'echot Shmo Olav, and other nations give names to the days. K'mogon HaNotzrim, he says, the Christians, Kornosam al Shem Shivas Koch Vileches. They call the days of the week based on the seven stars, Katznash Chalam, which stands for, if you want to know, Kochav, Noga, Tzedek, Shabsai, Chama, Levana, and Madim. Those are the seven matters. But there's seven different stars we're referring to here. It's referring to the sun and the moon, Mercury, Venus, Mars, Jupiter, and Saturn. That's what it's referring to. And Christian days refer to those names. So I don't know what we have nowadays. I assume that Saturday must have to do with Saturn, I assume. Monday is moon, Sunday is sun. I'm not sure about Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, exactly how those fit in. But the days connect with astrology. That's what the days connect with. She Rosh Yamim, V'Omer V'Chule. So those are the days that they have. Avo Yisro, Ein Lehem Shem, El Shekorna Soma Shem Mitzvah Shabbos. But Jews don't call days by name. We call them all based on how many days are left till Shabbos. You know, Yom Shlishi B'Shabbos. We're just waiting for Shabbos to come. We want to use this opportunity to always remember Shabbos. That's our goal. Some point out, we have a mitzvah, Zachor Yom HaShabbos, remember Shabbos. So simply by saying, Hayom Yom Sheni B'Shabbos, I've actually done a mitzvah by remembering Shabbos now. That's what I've done. So our whole count of days is just to remind us about Shabbos coming. That's what he says. That's what the pasuk says. Zachor Yom HaShabbos. Remember Shabbos. Then remember Shabbos on every single day. This is what Chazal tell us in the Medrash. Rav Yitzchak Omer Lo Tehe Mona Kederach She'achir Monim. Atei Mona L'Shem Shabbos. Don't count like the Goyim count. Count everything based on Shabbos. Klomar Kol Yom Atei Mona Elov Mimenu. Everything should be counting toward Shabbos or from Shabbos. That's why the days don't get any proper name. So to the months, he says. Months don't have a name in the Torah. So the Torah calls the months, first month, second month, third month, and that counts coming from Pesach, from Yisrael Mitzrayim. Now, La'ana, it says in the second year, in the second month, the cloud rose up. These are all examples of the Torah that we call in the months simply by their number. That's it. And it means because we're counting from our Geula. That's what we're counting from. So the point of counting months in Torah by number is always to remember our Geula. That's what we're trying to remember. This is what it means in the Pasuk that Nisan is the first month for you. It's not the first of the year, but it's the first month in relation to our Geula. That's what it means. So the first month of the year is Tishrei. The year begins at Tishrei. We started counting 5777 at Tishrei. But the first month of our Geula, that's Nisan. And now he's going to speak about the fact that we use Babylonian names for our months. That's the next point now. Ilu Hashemos Shanu Kurim Lahem Nisan Iyar Sivan Shemos Parsiim Him. So he says that the names that we call the months, Nisan Iyar Sivan, these are Persian names, he says. They're not found in Tanakh, really. They're only found later on in the later writings of the Ksuvim, in those writings are written in Bavel. So, for instance, you know, we find in Esther, Daniel, in these books, these are the latter books of the Tanakh. They're written, you know, outside of Eretz Yisrael. That's where we find these names. We don't even find them during the times of the Babylonian Empire. We only start using these names after the Persians overtook the Babylonians at the very end of the first Golus. Megillas Esther, Maskir Sam is mentioned in Megillas Esther. Bechodesh Harishon, Bechodesh Nisan. Komar Bechodesh Harishon, Yisrael, Shunikra Nisan, Machos Paras. Meaning that it's the first month, which is called Nisan by the Persians. Vechem Bechodesh Hashwishi, Bechodesh Sivan. Ve'inyin Ha'izkiru, Rabbeinu Amar Brishas Rabba, Vechem Yerushalmi, Shemos Chodeshim Olam. And that's what it means, that in the Yerushalmi, that the names of the month came with us from Bavel. I mean, they're not Babylonian names, he's saying, they're actually Persian names, what he says. They had no names until this point. Until we left Bavel and took the names from there. So what's the reason for this? Now we have to get to the reason. So we've shown that really the months should be counted based on numbers ever since Pesach, the Argula. That's number one. The names that we have were not mentioned in Tanakh really, only at the very end in the books written right before we came back to Eretz Yisrael for Bayis Sheni. Names are Persian. And now the question is, like, why do we do that? Like, why are we not doing as the Torah describes and using Persian names? The reason for this is that initially we were counting the months from the Geula from Mitzrayim. Okay, so suddenly Bavel, when we left Bavel, Mitzavinu, Lo Lemor Urchai Hashem Asher Heles B'nei Strong Eretz Mitzrayim. So the Pasuk says that when we left Bavel, Yirmiyah says, no longer say, you know, long live Hashem that took us out from Mitzrayim. Kim Chai Hashem Shehel Es Bnei Yisrael Me'Eretz Tzafon. We should say that Hashem should live who took us out of the northern lands from Babylonia. Chazarnu L'Kros Chadashinu L'Gulas Tzafon. So at that point, we start counting from our second Geula, he says. V'losh Nishne Hashem Os Rishonim. V'nishkach Gulas Mitzrayim. We're not trying to forget Mitzrayim. We're also trying to combine with that as well. So he's saying the same concept applies to our modern names and months. That just like initially all the months were counted from the Gulas Mitzrayim, so too when Hashem took us out of Bavel and brought us back to Eretz Yisrael to build the second base of Mikdash, we want to recall that Geula. So we use the Persian name, so we're always remembering that Hashem took us out of Babylonia and Persia as well. That's what we're trying to do. So you have both concepts. We're always thinking about Nisan as the first month from Yitzchus Mitzrayim. It's also called Nisan to remind us of the Geula from Bavel. That's what he says. Very different than what we mentioned from Rav Yaakov, who was saying really it was to remind us that we're still in Golos. He's saying it's telling us that we got out of Golos. That's what he's saying. But that's essentially the point of the Ramban. So just to, I guess, put it in the bigger picture. So we have the idea that the months essentially don't have any names. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, his names are months. The year begins at Tishrei. The months are counted from Yitzchus Mitzrayim. The reason that we use these names that came with us out of Bavel back to Eretz Yisrael. So Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky said it's to remind us that we haven't quite gotten to our final Geula yet. Let's remember that, you know, we're still, even when we were in Eretz Yisrael, we're still living in Golos, which is true today as well. You know, Jews are back in Eretz Yisrael, but we're still living in a time of Golos. And the Ramban said that no, it's so we remember the fact that Hashem saved us from Golos Bavel and brought us back to Eretz Yisrael. We want to use both names. That's what Ramban says. Now the reason I want to get into this is because there's a third pshat. You know, we saw the Ramban and we saw the Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky. I think, maybe, you know, if you don't mind, we can do one more thing. We have another few minutes. Everyone's okay with that? We can see it for next week if you want. Either way. But I have one more page. I didn't think we'd make it to us today, but we made it, so that's good. We're recovering ground. So one more page today, if you guys don't mind. And we'll stop with this. This will complete this idea. Here, you can pass that around also. This is a piece of Rav Tzadok. Rav Tzadok HaKohen, another great Hasidish Rebbe from Lublin. And he has a lot of writings. This is just one little piece I cut out that we're going to do. It's starting on the bottom left. It's where the Beis is. And he gives, I guess, we'll call it the more Hasidic interpretation of the names of the months, but this is really something we want to go with as well. And let's frame it the following way. That, you know, even though these are Persian names, and even though we said that the reason we brought them out is to remember the fact that we were saved from the Golos in Bavel and in Persia, when Chazal take names, or Nevi'im take names, they deem them, these are the Jewish months now, the names have meaning. If it was a name that didn't fit our month, they wouldn't have just chosen random names. So we have to look at it. On the one hand, there was a reason we took Persian names, being that we wanted to remember the fact that we came out of Persia. But on the other hand, the fact that Chazal took these names, as it were, they kind of like deemed them holy, that means the names have meaning. Because Chazal aren't going to take just these random names that are meaningless and make them names of our months. So he's going to take a third approach. I think it all kind of fits together. But if you look at the paragraph Beis, it's on the bottom left, in the front of the page there. And we'll finish with this. So he says what I said before, that the names of the months came out of Bavel, because Torah only mentions numbers. Only in the book of Nehemiah and other books of that time period are names mentioned. V'inyan, he says the concept is the following. Initially, when the Beis HaMikdash was standing, so every single month we had Rosh Chodesh and we had a Karban we brought. So there was a Musaf, which we daven Musaf, because there was a Karban brought every single Rosh Chodesh. Now we're going back to feeling the Kedusha of the time. Every single month, they felt the Kedusha of that month. So when they brought the Karban of Rosh Chodesh, each one was unique, because as they brought the Karban, they were feeling what that month actually meant to them. So every single month, there was some new chiddush, something new they discovered and felt in Torah. Also in every Shabbos, it's the same thing. Also every single year. A new year comes around, and the year is a new year, and there's new feelings and new understandings of the year. Inyan mechodesh, the Torah. V'chem ischash chol shana b'chol chodesh chol Shabbos. So too, every year, every chodesh, every Shabbos has its new realities and its new inspirations and its new ideas. Me'ein zeh matzinu Menashe shona b'chamishim v'chamishim panim b'toras kohanim k'neged shnei machusa. Menashe Melech, who was actually a terrible Rasha, who happened to also be Talmud Chacham, the Gemara says, so he learned 55 different understandings of Toras Kohanim, the Sefer Vayikra and all the halachas of the Kohanim, corresponding to his 55 years he reigned as a king. So every year he had a new understanding of the Torah. And Rashi explains, Sefer Vayikra haya mechadish bo b'chol shan v'shana v'dor shan v'pupulo. Every single year he would learn Sefer Vayikra more and find new understandings of Sefer Vayikra. Ayin sham. Haylem hergesh b'schachis, which means that they felt the new reality of every single year. In Divrei Torah, b'chol Shabbos, chol Chodesh. Like we said before, that every month, every Shabbos has its new feelings, its new emotions. But then what's the problem? V'achar kach, kishenishkach mehem hergesho, b'chidesh Torah. V'chin achar churban beis hamikdash shel hayah olas chodesh b'chodesho. After the churban, the feelings were lost. I mean, when the beis hamikdash is in the world, so we're more sensitive spiritually overall. We can feel the months. We can feel what's in the air. But after the churban, we no longer had the karban every single month, and we weren't able to be in tune as much with what that month meant. So, us technologic nasagadola shistu Torah shabal peh. So he says, so at that point, the Anshika Sagadola, who were that was the Rabbanan who were there at the beginning of the second Beis HaMikdash, kind of setting things up for us. They at that point were organized Tersha Baal Peh, and they established the names of the months. These Persian names, they're the ones who deemed them Jewish now. That's what they did. So he's saying that the names of the months, beyond the fact that we're remembering our Golos, should actually indicate the message of the month itself. And he brings an example, Matsino Medrash. The Medrash says, Al Tishrei. So again, Tishrei initially, I guess, was a Babylonian or Persian name. But he says the word Tishrei also can mean Tishrei v'tishbuk v'sechaper al chovi amach. The Hashem should release and overlook and atone all the sins of the nation. The word in Aramaic, the word shari is to release something, to untie and to release, to permit. So Hashem should permit all of our sins. So Tishrei, which is the month of Yom Kippur and Rosh Hashanah, the month of Tshuva, the word actually means, you shall release us. That's what it means. You shall forgive us. So we see that Tishrei is the month of Yom Kippur, and the name of the month indicates the meaning of the month. So we'll still stop there. He goes into Kislev after that. We'll get to a different time. But his point, so he's bringing it a little bit deeper now, that even though these names may be Persian names, but the fact that Anshei Knesset HaGadolah, you know, the great rabbis of Chazal, deem these names to be the names of our months, is because they understood these names actually indicated what the month means. So Tishrei is an example, the Medrash says, but really the name of every month, whether it be Cheshvan, Kislev, Tevis, all these different names, should indicate to us what is the feeling of the month, what's the atmosphere of the month, what's our opportunity that month has to offer. So that's the introduction to the month. So as we go through each month, we're trying to figure that out. So that's going to be our role, you know, throughout the next, you know, I guess, few months, Meretz Hashem, will be to figure out what is the message of every single month that we're supposed to tap into. That's our goal.
Thank you.
Any questions? Yeah.
The names that were given, were they given by the non-Jews, the Bavlim, or the Persians, or their names that the Yidden gave the Jewish months, but they were Persian, the word was Persian origin?
It's a good question. It sounds like the word, it sounds like these were names that the Persians used, it sounds like to me.
So they had a lunar month?
I assume so. I don't know the answer. I'm not sure what kind of month they had.
I thought that's how we were different than the non-Jews.
Well, it's, you know, the B'nai Esav, always, they used a solar month.
Mm-hmm.
Persians, I mean, the Muslims use a lunar month right now. So I don't, Persians, I don't know what they used, but mm-hmm. Christians have a solar year, but Muslims have a lunar year. So it could be they used a lunar month. But it's not 100% clear to me either, but it sounds like these are actual names they use. Certainly when it comes to the way Rav Yaakov understood it, or the way that Rabban understood it. But the fact that Anshei Knesset HaGadolah deemed these appropriate for us to use mean they saw something in the name which is appropriate for us. That's why I understand it over there. Mm-hmm. It's a good question. Yeah, you can please keep them, keep notes, enjoy.
Thank you.